Just a whinging.
Well, how are the levels?
Levels are good, man.
Awesome.
Little darling, she's as pretty as the dinos when they wreck. We're talking about Pan America. Ron says, what the heck? Just a whinging.
Can't stop the wobbles.
Welcome, everybody, to the Five Dirty Bikers Podcast. Are you following the 530 Bikers on social media? Find us on Facebook and like us on Instagram and Twitter at 530 Bikers.
Hey, Dust.
Yes.
What in the name of a breaded piece of chicken with popping grease on it are we talking about tonight?
Well, big news. Everybody, welcome back to 530 Bikers Podcast. Today we're going to be discussing the new Harley Davidson bike release, the Pan America.
Mmm. That's the most delicious Peter Pan ever. Wow. So, no, I can talk about Dinah's sucking because, I mean, I'm just telling the truth there. But you, on the other hand, are making a video is just trying to get people involved and enrage everyone.
I will say that his points were valid. Every motorcycle Harley's made outside of the cruiser line or tried to make differently has been a turd.
Yeah. And just think, when they can't make an air-cooled motorcycle anymore.
Is that necessarily their fault, though?
Yes.
It's the motor company's fault that people don't like a bike they make?
It's... No.
It's the customer base. It's problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, I don't think you can blame the culture, Mike. But you know, I don't know if you read any of my responses back to the people that ask questions in my video. But
no, I watch videos. I don't read comments.
One of the things I said was, I think the biggest reason why, say, the V-Rod failed was the dealerships. This goes for the Buell too. And I didn't even include that in my video. The dealers never pushed these bikes. They didn't like them. They didn't want to sell them and they didn't feel like their customers would like them. And so they didn't put any effort into them. And I think the same thing's going to happen with the Pan America. If the dealers don't get on board with this bike and all the things that are great about it, it's going to be dead in the water. And that has nothing to do with the motor company because the dealers and the motor company are separated.
Yeah.
With this thing, though, they're not just launching a bike. They're launching an entire fucking accessories to go with it. So, I mean, not only can you buy the bike, but they're going to have the jackets, the pants, the helmets, the boots.
This isn't like having a cruiser and making a different lineup for like a bobber or making a something you can put drag bars on or making it into a bagger. This is a completely different fucking line.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, that's great. It's a completely different line. They did that with Buell and it was a huge failure.
And Buell's coming back.
Yeah. Buell is coming back.
It was a huge failure. Buell was doing great before Harley got involved. And
no, Eric Buell worked for Harley.
Right, and then went out on his own, and then Harley...
He came back because he needed some way to produce his bike. He had great designs, and he was he was an innovator for so many things.
But, right.
But the motor company hated the bike.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that because that's not true. They invested in him, and they put the bike out there. The dealers hated the bike, and they never put any effort into it. And those things were stuffed into a corner. If you went into a dealership when there was a Buell in there, it was stuffed in the very back of the corner of the back of any dealership, and you couldn't find a salesperson to ask you about it.
No.
And that's my fear with this Pan America is that you're going to have some dealers, you're going to find a dealer that sells nothing but baggers and they're going to drop that Pan America in the back corner and they're never going to talk about it. And
I don't think they're going to do that. This is the first American built ADV bike. It's a big deal. There's a new engine. It's it's like the most advanced technological ADV bike out there to date.
Their history doesn't support what you guys are saying though. their history supports them stuffing it in the back because it's not like what they normally have.
But that's also, but I see the foreskin. Or foreskinning, whatever it is when you're looking into the future.
Foreshadowing. Foresight.
Sometimes the foreskin can cause a little shadowing.
Yes. Yeah. I think that, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, Harley doing this same thing and the dealers doing the same thing, you know, I talked a lot of shit on the Pan America here a year and a half ago when we first started, because I didn't think Harley was going to come up with anything that resembled a adventure touring bike that would have any technology that anyone would even want and that would weigh under 800 pounds when it was decked out, ready to go. And I'll be the first to tell you, Harley has made they have put for their first ADV bike, which you can go into the bullshit video that they made that they it ran. It was not their first. Long.
They started off road, Mike. Damn
oh,
it.
We started ADV. We were the first ones to do
it. They didn't have roads when they started making motorcycles.
Harley was making motorcycles when they didn't even have roads and wheels and such. But Harley, for them to put out an ADV sport touring bike and this to be their first bike, this is a hell of a fucking motorcycle for Harley Davidson.
I do not argue that point one bit. I 100% agree. That bike is way more than I expected. And I actually have some questions for you about it because I don't know the market well enough, but I don't disagree with that at all, Mike. That bike is fantastic. A 1250 yeah. cc motor that has 150 horsepower. There's nothing I can't argue one bit. I will agree with every point you're going to make about how great that bike is, the technology. I don't disagree. I'm right. saying their history doesn't support them doing this bike justice. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so you're a pessimist.
I know. I'm a realist.
No,
but I mean, you're a pessimist. You think with, that's like saying, with them coming out with an entire line of accessories and clothing and shit, it sounds like to me they doubled down and they went all in on the adventure market. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they yeah, did. This motorcycle, given as big as ADV touring is getting, you know, seeing how the sport of riding is turning from, hey, I want to polish chrome all day to, hey, I want to go out here and fucking ride.
You got to keep your shit tight, Mike.
You ain't got to keep shit tight unless you own a fucking cruiser.
Well, you got to keep your shit tight.
So
that's all I'm saying. But
this motorcycle, as big as the ADV market is, could single-handedly put Harley on top of the ADV market and
that's a bold
cruiser
statement.
Market.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah.
You don't, man, that bike is nice.
Dude, it hammers its direct competitor with the BMW. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, the only thing the BMWs have is a little bit bigger gas tank.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Mike, because again, I don't know. So this is a legit question. I noticed that, like, if you want their aluminum pannier set, they're like $1,000 a bag, right?
They're how much?
Are they like $1,000 per bag?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
I couldn't find them anywhere yet.
Which
one?
Well,
you're the damn Harley fanboy. Do you not know?
I don't know this about this bike.
I watched a couple of things on it, and to get the special loaded with everything that, you know, the adjustable, you know, the ride height, or not yep. the ride height, but the standover height thing. That's yep. like $1,000 option. And to get it completely loaded out, the bike would run you about $24,000.
What? Okay. So maybe let's not talk about the Harley panniers. What in the BMW market, what are those aluminum panniers cost if you were going to buy them from BMW?
They're probably a fucking fortune.
If you're going to buy, well, and it depends on the brand. It depends on who they're made by. And
let's just say you're going to buy
whatever. Right from, if you, well, if you bought a set of, if you bought a set of, aluminum box panniers, like a, you know, a 30 or 40 or 50, even 50 liter pannier for each side. You know, I mean, you're talking $1,200-$1,500 regardless.
Okay.
If you were to buy an aftermarket set, you're still looking at $1,000 to $1,400 bones just to pick up a good set of panniers.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know what, because I'd heard they were like going to be like $1,000 a bag. And I didn't
know. A bag? Jesus.
Yeah. I didn't know if that's what the market holds for these.
No, they're anywhere from you can pick them up anywhere from, you know, a good manufacturer, you pick them up anywhere from 800 for a hard bag, not for a soft bag, for a hard bag that's lockable and all that. You'll pay anywhere from 800 to $1,200, $1,500 for a set of bags. But sure, these bags are strong enough to withstand you dropping your bike on right a rock.
Over. Right.
It's not like a piece of shit fiberglass bagger bag. I mean, you know, a damn fly hits it the wrong way and it's going to explode. I mean, you know.
I'm looking at RevZilla. I was just curious myself, but they have some aluminum side cases for the F800GS Adventure.
Who are they made by?
BMW Genuine.
Okay. So how much are those?
There you go.
$537 a pop.
Yeah. So it's $1,000.
$500 a piece. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to do that,
$1,100.
If you were going to do the back bag too, you're looking at $1,500. Mike was right on, pretty much.
Yeah.
Right on
the yeah. 15. Yep. Well, I mean, fuck it. I mean, even if you do that with bags for your cruiser, it's the same amount of money.
Well, on this one, you can get,
oh yeah, for sure.
Three, you can do three bags on it. So you know,
yeah,
you're in at 15 large, you know, $1,500 for the three, because it's got the one on top and the two on the side.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Did you notice that it comes with an adaptive headlight also?
I did. That's pretty badass right there.
And so that's gonna move with your turn, right?
Yeah.
Is that what they mean by the adaptive headlight? Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Indian's got going on right now.
Well, they make them for the CVOs too.
Yeah.
So the base model is a really good bike. My sort of nitpick is you have to buy the optional spoked wheels. Now, they can run a cast wheel and produce that wheel cheaper to a degree than they can that, you know, stainless rim and probably got aluminum hubs and all that shit or aluminum rim. I don't know what type of rims they're using, but I know it's a tubeless wheel. But that was my only complaint, is that it didn't come from the factory that way. But if you're not riding off road, that spoked wheel isn't going to do you any good. If you just are going to be streeting this thing and crossing country and riding gravel, basic gravel, then that spoked wheel isn't going to do you any good. The only time it's going to come in is when you're doing, you know, hey, I'm crossing over ditches and culverts and hitting big rocks and shit. But the base model, you know, the base model is a good thing, but for the $2,000 between the base model and the special, you're getting a lot for your money by moving up to the special.
It's almost a no-brainer.
It's almost right. a no-brainer, but the fucking million-dollar question is, are people going to buy it? Is it enough to bring the person that's looking at the Tiger or the BMW or even the Africa Twin to go check out the Harley? Is it enough to bring that customer in a Harley dealership?
Yeah, because it's a brand. Go ahead.
No, well, as I say, it's price competitive to take on the BMW, which is, I don't know if it's the cream of the crop, but it's right up there.
I mean, it's a bad motherfucker. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I'm just curious if your ex buyer, if that is enough to bring them into a Harley dealership to actually look at the bike.
So if you're talking Honda, if you're looking at Africa Twin, you're looking, if you're looking at the Adventure Sports model, you're looking at 18 grand.
Yeah.
18,000, 19,000. If you put any upgrades on it at all, if you're looking at the Yamaha Super Tenere, you're still looking at anywhere from, I think it's 17 to 18,000.
The price is there. I mean, the price is legit.
Is competitive across the board. Yeah, and the price for is what legit. you get a beast of a motorcycle. You can argue weight, you can argue gas tank size, you can argue whatever you want to. But what people aren't understanding that I thought about as soon as Harley released it and I saw it and real, you know, and actually liked it. You can't go and buy a BMW or a KTM or a Honda or a Suzuki. You can't buy any of those motorcycles and find a dealership that is closer than a fucking Harley dealership to wherever you're going to be. And if Harley, go ahead.
That is a fucking valid point.
This is the one thing I'm curious about too, because, you know, we saw the release of the electric bike.
Yeah.
Not every dealership has it. So is this going to be the same scenario where not every dealership carries one?
If Harley wants to make this a successful model and lineup and
in front of every
class, yep, they need to have every dealership stocked with basic brake levers, control like the foot, you know, like a brake and gear shifter.
Shit
that's going to break when you drop it, or shit that's going to break when you have a light, you know, topple over, because that happens. I mean, you know, drop down into a mud hole and you come flying off the front of the bike. Stuff that's going to break. If they have the dealerships to stock those parts, then there's no reason not to buy this fucking motorcycle, because it doesn't matter where you go in the country. How many dealerships did Adam say there was? 750 something?
Just over
702, I thought he said.
Yeah.
Okay, 702. I thought there was more than that. Anyway, so 702. I don't know how many Honda dealerships there are as far as power sports goes, but if Harley has the parts, you've literally got, yeah, you might have to drive an hour to get to a dealership, or you might have to drive 30 minutes or have somebody pick you up and take you somewhere. But as long as Harley has these parts in stock, it wouldn't matter. And given the quality that Harley produces and puts out.
Holy shit. But did somebody stick a Harley pill up your ass?
No.
I mean, man, you are just singing praises.
He is very agreeable tonight.
He is.
Wait, let me. Well, okay. So
I'm just saying the Pan America is the real fucking deal.
What's up, guys? This is Blockhead, and you're listening to the Five Dirty Bikers podcast.
I don't know what your all's experiences are, but when I go to a power sports dealership, you can't ride the bike.
Nope.
Unless it's a demo day. And more than likely, you're going to be waiting on the fucking bike because they won't have it.
If you walk into a Harley dealership and they have them in stock, this will be the first ADV bike that you can get on and fucking ride when you want to test ride one.
Well, that's what I was curious about, because there's all these people that are like, I can't wait to test ride one. I can't wait to test ride one. You're not going to be able to take it out and push it to its limits when you do, though.
You're not going to push it to its limits, but you're going to get the feel of the geometry.
Change the gear on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can put it in whatever the off-road sport mode and see how the suspension is changing in the different modes, in the different ride modes.
So, like with BMW, can you actually go in and buy a bike and walk out with it that day, or are you waiting on it?
No, they've got them in the showroom. They've got them in the showroom.
So, yeah. like
When you buy it, you have to, they take it to the back, they PDI it, they put fuel in it, charge a battery, whatever else, and then they bring it out to you. Sort of like buying a car.
But with the metric bikes, isn't it like they get them at the release, and then after they sell out of them, they're out of them for the year? Is that true or is that bullshit?
No, they've still got them at the distribution centers for the manufacturer.
But yeah,
you know, they'll have pallets upon pallets or crates. Yeah, because there's been
a few times where I went in and asked about a bike, and they're like, "We're sold out. We won't have it again for 6 months." Mm. You know,
that may
I mean?
Have to do with your area too, because I know my Power Sports in Ocala, they have a huge warehouse because they have a store in Ocala and one in Gainesville, and they like if it's not there on the floor, they'll call the warehouse and pull it from the warehouse.
And see
it
there, because I went there a while back to look at the Africa Twin. And they had one there, but they wouldn't sell it. It was just like a display model and you had to wait.
Wow.
If you wanted it. Yeah.
Well, my guess is that they're using this period of time now to gauge the interest in this bike. So I don't think they're going to overproduce it. You know what I mean? They're going to get pre-sales. They're going to get, you know, they're going to generate the buzz that they need between now and May. And then they're going to put the bikes out that they think they're going to sell. I don't think they're going to overproduce it, because I think that that's one thing that this CEO is going to be really in tuned in, is not having too many of any bike on any showroom floor.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I think it's going to be, but I'll tell you the difference between this and Livewire is this has a market. The Livewire was a fucking test bike. Right. There was no market for that bike.
No.
You know, that was like, we're going to build it. Maybe, in my opinion, maybe people will buy it. Because I honestly think that was way ahead of its time. It shouldn't have come out for years.
See, I can't believe that Harley is actually producing a motorcycle that they're producing it for a growing market rather than producing it when the fad is going out of fucking style.
Yeah.
Cause that's what Harley's always done in the past. But the big difference between this is now, you know, and that's the thing, is there's no age, because when it comes to enduro riding or adventure touring or anything like that, man, people are adventure touring from their early 20s all the way up into their 70s. Now it depends on what they're going to actually do when they go touring, but you know, the average age for someone adventure touring, I would be willing to say is probably 37 to 72.
72?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, not everybody's out here trying to jump fences and cattle, man. I mean, they're getting on a damn motorcycle and going down fire roads and gravel roads. But if you look at most of these BMW riders, they're in their 60s.
I have to give it to them. This is the first bike that ticked all the boxes for me, at least in terms of how I ride. That would be a reason for me to look outside of a touring bike in Harley's lineup. I mean, it really is, because if I were to, because again, just how I ride, you know, motorcycle camping, all of those things fit into what I like to do. And this bike can do all those things. It wouldn't make sense for me to have Tony's bike, because I'd have to put so much crap on it. It wouldn't be the same bike anymore.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the same.
So for me, this is legitimately the first bike other than a Road Glide or a Street Glide that ticks all those boxes, that does all the things that my Road King.
And not only that, they answered everybody's call for ride modes, suspension modes, touchscreen, heated grips, cruise control, LEDs all the way around. I mean, everything that everybody was bitching about, guess what? This bike has it all.
And it's got more. It's got the adaptive rider height now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a first.
Nice.
Yep. So
yeah, Mary, that's for us. When you stop it, actually the bike lowers down like a low rider.
I was starting to say, so here's the thing. BMW has had on the fly ride height adjustment. What Harley produced is when you come to a stop, the bike lowers down.
That's pretty fucking cool.
What's the official standover height when it lowers down like that?
I don't know.
The,
I haven't been able
the
to
lowest
find.
Was 31.7, I think. Less than 32
almost
inches.
Doable.
Almost. Yeah, I mean,
still
I,
too
I
high
could,
for you, Tony.
I could probably pull it off. I'd be a circus act, but I could probably get it done.
No, I mean, you could probably tiptoe that bike. You couldn't flat foot it, but you could tiptoe it.
And on top of that, but, it doesn't weigh 800 pounds either. I mean, it's competitive
no,
in weight with all
no,
the other
it does
ones.
Not. Five. The special is 560 or 570 something, fueled up, ready to go.
That's yeah. That's completely wet. Yeah, that's. I mean, that's.
And that's what 6 gallons of gas, isn't it?
Yeah. Five. It's 5.8 or
it's 5.7 yeah. or 5.8. It's close to 6. So at 8, that's, you know, at 8 pounds a gallon.
That's what I was going to say. It's 8 pounds. Yeah. That's 40 pounds of fuel.
Yeah.
They list the miles per gallon.
It's 40. It's the same as the rest of them.
Okay. 46,
but
47.
I will tell you this.
Like
if they come out with that custom with that fucking 1250 in there, 150 horsepower, you better get some fucking sticky gloves. You hold on to that fucking thing, man.
I will probably trade in my Sport Glide.
I mean, you better have some sticky fucking gloves because that son of a bitch is going to haul ass.
150 horsepower. Jesus Christ.
I will tell you, when I saw the Pan America and when I saw the specs and when I was able to look at it and, you know, sort of just be able to ooh and ah over it, it tickled my taint a little.
I'll tell you what, Mike, it kind of sounds like you slid on your knees with jazz hands smiling like a donut.
I'm telling you.
Right in there on it.
Man, I come in like I was a rock star sliding across the stage. But
no, it was cool.
I really like the motorcycle, and I'm happy that Harley has updated something and went a different direction with a motor. Because like we've talked about before, ultimately Harley will have to go to a water cooled motor in order to meet emissions.
Eventually. So
this just made me think about what would happen if they water cooled that Milwaukee 8.
That's sacrilege. Nobody wants to do that.
If they water cooled that motor, it's still. It would make quite a bit of power, more power. I mean, because you got to look at torque wise too. That 1250 is making 93 foot pounds of torque, and how much does the Milwaukee 8 make? 97.
Mine makes 120.
Jesus.
Yeah, but you got that damn 114.
The 107 makes I think it's 110.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you got. 15, 16 foot pounds, Dave. Somebody dipping.
Yes, Mike. God damn, it's all I got left. Leave me alone.
did you buy that dip at Cocksmokers?
Cocksmokers.
Schmokers.
No, but that's the thing with the water cooled. You can't get the torque numbers that you can with an air cooled.
You can't. You can get your horsepower going.
Yeah, but you can't get the torque numbers.
But you can't get your torque numbers. But we're not talking about 50 foot pounds of torque difference between the M8 and that Pan America, that 1250 not even that, we're talking less than 20.
Yeah.
That
bike's going to have all the power that you would ever need on a fucking.
They're going to need a fucking wheelie bar for the back of that son of a bitch. Cause man, that thing will stand up. Cause a Harley will straight up pull your ass off the back of it.
It's going to
haul.
That's
a lot of power.
It's going to be a fun bike. I think it's going to sell. I don't know what it's going to do. Might be a turd.
I was on Harley's Facebook page just to kind of get the feedback from the masses. You know, just to go through the comments, just to see who was going to hammer on the bike and who was going to love it. Just out of curiosity, and it sounded like because Harley responded to one comment that the Bronx is still in the works for maybe next year.
They teased it on that video.
I heard a rumor that thing might be coming out later on this year.
Yeah, I did too.
Think I think they're going to release the custom. I know they're going to release the custom, but I think they're going to release the custom and the Bronx at the same time. No.
Yeah, the Bronx, they killed, didn't they?
I thought they did too. I think they might still be.
It's the custom that's still alive. The Bronx is dead.
Did I say custom a little bit ago?
You said
no. Bronx. You said Bronx.
They were talking like Harley's comment to the guy that commented something about the Bronx is not in the books for this year. Not that it's gone.
Well,
I got the hint that it still might be a release.
They're going to have some bikes next year to replace the Sportsters because the Sporties are gone.
They need some smaller displacement bikes with that Revolution Max in it.
They need to put that fucking custom out now.
But here's the question, though. So the Pan America is $17,000. Where's the custom going to fall? Because
the custom.
Yeah, the custom.
With oh.
The
cool.
Because the thing is, if
that's
you get rid of the $14,000
motorcycle,
yeah,
14 the thing, to 15,
then that doesn't do a damn thing for the sporty riders because it's your sub
too expensive.
10 grand. Yeah.
They'll have a damn street version of it. That's going to be eight,
maybe but it'll 600 be or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Something just a little smaller, but I'm telling you, if that custom is, even if the custom is 12 grand or 14 grand, that's going to attract the people that want a Sportster with a high horsepower motor because they don't like a soft tail because they think that extra 2 inches is going to get them in trouble.
Extra 2 inches might get you in trouble.
It could.
It could be a lot.
Sometimes an extra 2 inches is good. Sometimes it ain't.
That's the difference between an ooh and an ah.
Yeah. Or
an ooh and an ouch.
Ouch. Or an oh yeah and an oh damn.
Yeah.
It's all good until you hit a bruised uterus.
Or a nope and a yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all good until you bottom out.
I'm telling you. You can't be walking around with a bruised uterus. That hurts.
No, you're right.
Shit. I had a fucking train of thought and I completely lost it. I had something. Now it's completely fucking gone. I appreciate it. No, I did not. God damn it.
Hey, I want to ask you guys something. Did you guys see Queen Sit's Instagram story about the shoe covers?
Yeah, I did.
I missed it.
I did.
Yes. Zip up or zip on rain covers for your shoes.
I did see that.
You can pull your track shorts off and squirt and not get your shoes dirty.
Oh my god.
No. There's the line.
That's the first thing I thought about.
We were having a good conversation there, Mike. And
when
all
I
of
saw
sudden,
plastic, I thought of
Tony's
oh
grandma's
my goodness.
Couch.
Yeah, I thought of Tony's grandma. And shoes. You wouldn't have to worry about shoes anymore.
Just a little zip and you could take a little drip.
Yeah.
There's your tagline.
Oh my God. I'm glad I'm editing this podcast.
You look like a sushi master. Just
Tony finally gets to cut everything out he wants.
Yes, I do. Something's going to come out G-rated when I get done with it.
It'll just be
going to have bleeps and everything in this motherfucker. Like,
fuck no, we'll go to jail. Click.
So what?
135 miles an hour, Mike.
Considering I do absolutely zero research other than the 5 minutes I spent looking at the Pan America and all the specs, what is everyone saying other than Ryan and Bri the Biker? Because they're the two sorriest, unhopeful people I know.
Bri needs a gold wing now.
Mm-hmm. Man,
just go buy a convertible Accord. Call it a day. Yeah,
this is funny because
might as well be riding around on a Can-Am.
This guy was, I still get comments on some of my videos once in a while, and this guy was like, this bike needs this, this, and this. I was like, dude, just go buy a fucking car. Come on, it's a motorcycle.
So
we love you. We love you, Bri. We're just kidding.
And we love you, Ryan.
I'm not offended.
Ryan's standing by his stance.
I stand by it. I truly, you guys know me. I'm a Harley fanboy. I hope and pray that this bike is everything they want it to be. And I'd love to see them put this platform in Bagger. I mean, I think that would
no.
be
Why no. not? Why
you want to take a because you can take a really good ADV bike and fuck it up by making
No,
he's talking about taking the motor and putting it in the bag.
Yeah, put a full liquid cooled motor in a bagger. That's what I would like to see them do. Something that will
They sell them in the Scout lineup over at Indian.
I was going to say. It's called the Challenger, right?
It is called the Challenger. You're right about that.
Yeah.
You're right.
It hauls ass, it handles good, and it's a bagger.
You're right. They're going to have to do it eventually because emission standards aren't going to let them. So they're going to have to make a change at some point.
I think I'm going to be looking out for an Indian demo day and just go test the curiosity I got.
I'll tell you what, that new motherfucker, those Chiefs are pretty cool looking.
They are.
So, yeah, I mean, if they take, well.
If you want to put an Indian between your legs, then there you go.
Hiawatha.
Chumani Tutaka Owachi.
Is that from Dances with Wolves?
Yeah, that's his name. Chumani Tutanka.
Did you just say, hey, mom, I want some tacos? Two tacos?
Two tacos, yes.
Two tacos. Boy,
tacos.
Mary, you better be quiet. We can't get a word in.
I know. I'm just thinking you were chewing on whose tacos, whatever.
If I could get tacos that had beef brisket hanging out of them, that would be delicious.
What you need to do is open up a taco stand.
They're called brisket tacos.
Yeah, brisket taco.
Mark, you come here, we can go get some at Old Bakery Beer Company. They're delicious.
Yeah. I want it just to be like hanging out of the ends and glistening and stuff. I'm talking meat curtains, D.
And that will make the podcast.
You need to go to Arby's.
We got the meat.
I'm going to open up the fuzzy taco.
What was that taco place I went to a few months back? Fuzzy taco. Yeah, it was fuzzy taco.
Was it the fuzzy taco or the bearded taco?
No, it was fuzzy taco.
It horrible.
It was some of the best tacos I've ever had.
You have lost your mind.
I like Taco Bell.
It's coming.
Chicken soft taco supreme. God
yeah,
dang.
Yeah, that son of bitches are good, man.
Yeah.
Man, your ass looks like porcelain, too.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it does.
You're the one that ate the crab cake slider from White Castle. That's just asking for trouble.
I had no problems.
Crab cake slider?
From White Castle.
Everybody, if you're listening to this podcast, please go to White Castle and try the crab cake sliders. It'll change your life.
How far away are you from the actual ocean, Dustin?
Bar.
Day and a half.
Day and a half.
Man. And that's solid straight driving.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 4-hour plane ride from here.
I didn't say it was real crab.
It's crab with the K. It's that imitation crab you get at the grocery store. You know, looks like crab sticks.
I think that's what it is. And you get some shrimp nibblers too, Mike.
I am not eating shrimp from fucking White Castle.
That's what I called my last girlfriend, shrimp nibbler.
Shrimp from White Castle.
Come here, baby. Suck on this big toe.
That won't make the podcast either.
But fetish anyone?
Chop, chop.
Oh, I'm like trying to find the damn Discord questions. There they are.
All right.
Is that all we're talking about? The damn.
What else
would
you like?
About the damn Pan American?
What else would you like to discuss, Mike?
Well, I mean, the fact it's coming with Anarchy Wild tires, Michelin Anarchies.
It's got the Anarchies. And it's got all the apparels made by Revit.
I know. Hey, Revit's good shit, actually.
Yeah, Revit's real good shit.
God,
but you're
going
to have to slap an extra $150 on it for that HD logo.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, you can keep a Rocky Mountain ATV or Revzilla or any of the adventure and ATV sites. Look them up and you can get the same exact shit, only it'll come in different color.
Yeah.
Like, I thought at the very least you would at least pop the chub at that gauntlet gray metallic.
Well, the base model comes in the River Rock gray.
It's not River Rock, you said.
The base model is. The special is the metallic gray.
The base model is River Rock gray?
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Here we go.
Ruh-roh.
No.
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
No, I am not picking up a 500-pound motorcycle.
Well, if you didn't fall over on it, you wouldn't have to pick it up.
You're not riding an ATV bike unless you drop it.
That's a solid point. Is Dustin, is Ryan, are you looking, are you red too? Because your face is red.
It's red.
It was from my pasty white skin. Then I went to the beach and then it turned red.
How was the beach?
Oh man. I had the best meal. I had the best meal ever at a place called Krabby's right on the beach.
With a K?
No, with a C.
That's a good
show. It was delicious. It was so good.
Well, what was it? You just can't tell us.
Well, we had snow. It was snow crab, but she called it. Yeah. There was a different name to it.
King crab.
No, it was snow crab, but it was sort of the B. I don't remember what they called it. And then it was fire grilled and then soaked in butter, some butter sauce. And then it had some spice on the outside. So when you crack the shell, the stuff that was on your hands got on the meat when you ate it. And then it was, it was so good. I can't.
So Mary, really up in Northern Florida, do you all get the stone crab claws?
We can. Yeah.
Okay. Cause down south, those were always when it was seasoned, those things were delicious.
Yeah. I actually used to walk out in front of my mom's house and my friend and I would turn over huge rocks and pick them up from under the rocks.
Yeah. Ooh, fresh. Real fresh. Yeah.
Hella fresh.
I'm curious because I think we at the condo we're staying at in Destin, I think just right across the street, there's a seafood joint. We're going to have to check it out.
Yum. You got to go to what's that fucking place called in Destin? I lost it. I had it. It's the home of the $30 fish sandwich.
Oh, wow.
$30 fish sandwich.
It's not 30 it's bucks, but I mean, it's expensive as fuck. I don't know. I'm drawing.
I can just call my mama and say, hey, I'm coming down this weekend. I want some shrimp and some crab. She'll have it waiting for me when I get there.
We liked it so much. We're going back.
Are you really?
Good.
Yeah, we're going back. We already bought our tickets. So we're going back on Easter.
Nice. Easter.
Really?
Yeah, bringing the kids with us. But yeah, we're going back.
Oh, double down.
That's Easter's. Awesome.
Yep.
Mike has the diarrhea since Easter's.
Well, maybe I'll get to see you this time.
Maybe.
Hey, did you get to see Weems and all? And everybody?
Did I?
Yes.
Yeah, I just posted a picture with me sitting on Holiday Run or Hollywood Run on Instagram.
Damn it. How did it look in person?
My gosh, dude. His bikes are something else. His Triumph, his giveaway Triumph didn't take first place in this competition. It took fifth.
Mm-hmm. Really?
But there was some, I took a picture. Jared told me about this bike. He goes, you have to go look at it. He said, you have to look real close at it because the painter that liked the bike, he liked orange and he liked root beer. So he painted half the bike orange and the other half root beer. And the only way you can tell is if you stand over it and look straight down and you can see the fade from orange to root beer color. But when you're standing on one side or the other, the bike looks like it's that color. So
what fucking other color is it besides orange?
Root beer.
Root beer?
What?
It's a shade of brown, Mike.
I'll tell you what.
I'm assuming it's sort of like a brownish magenta color. Are you saying root beer?
I said root beer. That's the word, root beer.
I guess.
Like Rupert?
I didn't say Rupert. I didn't say ooh. I said root beer.
There's no U in root beer.
I didn't use a U.
I'll tell you what, I'm coming off the root beer. I'm looking at this picture on Instagram. That's a bad fuck. That actually fits you.
Yeah.
Those handlebars.
And you want to know something crazy? I bet you that bike is as light as a Schwinn.
Oh, cool.
It was so light. And that's what Jared said too. And he was like, oh, he said it's a crazy light bike, which surprised me because Jared's a lot smaller than you think he is. He's probably Tony's height. And so I was like, that's going to be a tough ride for him, but it is such a great bike. And he painted that whole frame and tank with Rattle Can, and it looks immaculate. I mean,
dang,
he did.
How's the other bike?
Which one?
The Rutt Beer? How's my bike looking? The one I'm going to win next month.
The one you're going to win your next month,
or when it goes up,
you honestly can't find a flaw in that bike. There's not a single flaw in it. If you look, like, if you get really close, you look at every bolt that's been turned, every seal, there's not a flaw, nothing. That bike is perfect from wheel to wheel. There's nothing. I I walked around it 8 times, nothing. I couldn't find a thing. So it's really funny because we're in this room and it's all choppers, all hand-built choppers. You walk around and then Jared goes, here, let me walk around with you. And he's like, what do you think about this bike? And I was like, it's a nice bike. It's got a great paint job. I'm like, I don't really like the shape of the fender or whatever. And he's like, yeah, he goes, we do a builder, you know, the builders choose the winners. And he said, I gave this bike second place. And he goes, you want to know why? And I was like, why? And he gets me way down close to the motor and where the exhaust pipe or where the flange goes on to the motor by the exhaust, there's a little bit of an orange seal that was sticking out there. And Jared goes, he could have just cut that off with a razor blade and he didn't bother. He's like, second place. I was like,
God damn.
Coming from a builder, I mean, he just like picked it up right away. But just some really amazing bikes. But I mean, I was partial to Jared's bikes, honestly, but there was a lot of really nice bikes there. And then outside of there was that Chopper Town Live was where he was displaying his bikes, which was in a kind of an auditorium, and the rest of it was an outdoor bike show. And there was a bunch of other bikes out there. They had some big wheel baggers and there were stereo companies and leather companies and all that stuff you'd expect at a normal bike show, a bunch of food trucks and a live band.
Hit up the leather company.
What's that?
I said, of course you hit up the leather company.
I bought them out of Whips. No problem.
did they have a BDS DCM truck there?
Yeah, I'm not. If you're talking about.
What?
No, they did not. They didn't have one of those there. Nope. No.
So on a tangent of what we were just talking about with Jared, we want to thank everybody who became or has been a Patreon in the month of February, because all those dollars that we brought in from our Patreon goes to Jared this month. It'll be March when this podcast is released. So thank you everybody for helping us out to help out such a great cause.
Yeah. So they were beautiful bikes. I can't wait to get it here in the next few months.
If you got $25, that will single-handedly be one of the best investments you've ever made.
Mm. For sure.
And it will go be to Jared delivered to you.
Yeah. Go to WeemsMotorCo.com and get yourself a $25 ticket.
Yes.
And I know you guys have all heard us before talk about our Discord, and our Discord is
fucking free.
So we're about ready to hit a pretty cool milestone. I would say in the next couple of days, we're going to have over 300 members on our free Discord.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool that we'll be reaching that milestone very soon. We have exactly 298 members as of recording this podcast. So,
well, shit, that's I better join to get us closer.
That's very cool. You might want to get out there and do that.
Are you not on the podcast, Tony? It's fucking free.
It's fucking free.
You Scrooge.
He's in there.
He's in there.
So, yeah,
I know I'm just fucking with you.
I'm going to go get me a root beer.
Rutt beer.
What's your favorite root beer?
I'm partial to if you go to do you have A&W there?
He's like a goddamn cream soda guy. He ain't a root beer guy. He's a cream soda.
The restaurant, the A&W restaurant.
Yeah, we got A&W Long John Silver's in Litchfield.
Yeah, where you can go in there and pull that son of a bitch off the tap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good motherfucker.
And they sell root beer there?
Yeah.
No, yeah. They sell.
I don't know why you guys keep laughing. You go there and ask them what it's called. You'll hear it.
Go where?
To the A&W.
In North Dakota, maybe. That's the only place it's called root beer in the entire world.
I did not say that. I did not say rot beer.
I want root beer, Raggy.
Oh my god!
Hey, do they still serve at the root beer at A&W in ice cold mugs? If you buy the mug,
icy mug. I don't think you get the inside of dine. So no, you're probably just getting it in a styrofoam cup.
Yeah.
No.
But they did when they were open. They did it. It was delicious.
Go to Florida. You can dine wherever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm. You can. Florida's open.
Wide open. Florida come on in. Open.
Yep. Who's got our Patreon list? Because I don't have it.
I do not.
Me. Let me see. I think I might have it. Give me a second.
So, as he's looking that up, what's the final verdict on the Pan America? Is it a hit or a miss?
The Pan America?
Yeah.
Pan America. It has yet to be seen, but I'm calling it a hit out of the park home run.
Big W
for Harley.
He's calling it a fucking Mickey. He's calling the shot.
Yeah.
I agree because
we're calling Baby Ruth in this bitch.
Yeah, we're calling Babe Ruth up on this one.
It's a couple of firsts with some of the technologies. A first. It's the first American made ADV bike. And also that engine, we're going to see it in bikes down the road. So that's what's got me even more excited for where the direction of the company's going.
$10,000. Now, okay. What was the red line on it, Tony? $10,000?
$9,500.
Oh,
six,
my God.
Six speed.
And so, 150 horsepower at 9,500 RPMs.
And
You hit second at 9,500 RPMs, you better hold the fuck on.
Hey, that is crazy.
Hang on. I'm going to do some math.
What do you think, Mary, after listening to all this babble this evening?
It sounds like an impressive fucking bike to me. And it sounds like a lot of testosterone in the room that's really excited about it. So.
That boy good.
All right, Brian, it's up to you, brother. You're the last one. Where are you on it?
I think that the bike itself is great. I think that they brought everything that market has been looking for and wanting. I think it's great that they finally put out a motorcycle and hit I don't want to say fad, but hit a time in motorcycling at the right time. Like they, you know, put out the rocker when chopper phase was over. I think they did all of those things right. The motor company did. Their history says that the dealers are going to struggle pushing this bike and selling it because they are not in tune with how to put out and sell a new product and train their staff to have the right information that's going to really move that product. So I really hope that they prove me wrong. I mean, I'm wearing a brand new Harley shirt right now. I hope they prove me wrong, but history doesn't say that they're going to prove me wrong. So we'll see what happens.
I can tell you, I need to go work at a Harley Davidson dealership because I could sell the fuck out of that bike. So here's a quick thing, right? So I was wondering comparatively the power to weight ratio. Okay. Mm-hmm. So given the weight of my motorcycle, I'm going to, So my motorcycle essentially has 1 horsepower for every 5.3 pounds. The Pan America breaks down to 3.8 pounds
per horsepower.
Which means that the Pan America is faster than my CRF 450 dirt bike.
Wow.
And if you Harley guys,
yeah, you said that thing was a rocket too.
If you Harley guys don't know exactly how fast a CRF 450 is, find somebody who has a supermoto and race them, and you'll see how fast a damn CRF 450 is. I mean, that's fucking crazy.
It's going to be an impressive motorcycle, I think. I'm with Ryan, though. I think they hit a home run with the bike. I just hope that the dealers handle it properly.
It's all between here and May. It's all about marketing.
Yeah.
This might be the first time on this podcast that I have ever been hopeful for Harley Davidson.
I mean, you're just sucking the Harley dick. I'll tell you.
I need to make, you know, the Obama graphic that said hope and it's got him like all mosaic looking like I'm going to do that with Mike. And that's going to be our next T-shirt. Hope.
Mike is very excited about the Pan America. It's a cool bike. I actually thought the event was cool too. I like the little backstory they gave and the whole deal. I thought it was pretty good. Tied it in.
And that one-eyed Jason Momoa.
The man has two eyes, Mike.
He has one. Have you not seen him in Aquaman? He's only got one eye, Tony.
I looked because you said he had one eye. And I mean, it looks to me that he has two.
He's like unless there was one of them that's odd color, he might be an Australian Shepherd. He's got different colored eyes, or he only has one eye and he's blind in the other.
It looks like he had two to me, but I don't know.
He is very fit and trim and muscular.
Does he have two eyes or one?
Because I've never looked at his face.
I don't know.
I only looked at the one eye.
I just looked at his muscles. I don't know.
Damn.
Well, you even saw the CEO rode the bike out in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We talking like Toto?
Dun, 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 dun.
What they need to do is give that fucker to the McGregor and let him and his sidekick.
Conor McGregor?
Yeah, let that motherfucker ride.
I'll take that bike out in the first round.
But even if you talk service dollars, I do want to add this since we're adding shit in. Even if you talk service dollars, with the reliability that Harley does have, because Harleys are reliable,
they are.
We all know this.
And, you know, there's still people that'll argue with you because they still say they leak oil and they're not reliable and everything else.
They don't ride a Harley or a motorcycle in general because they have been around for the past 50 fucking years.
Yeah,
but when you're talking reliability, when you're talking even service price, if you bought that Harley and you bought a KTM, you would rebuild the KTM before you had to ever even think about rebuilding that.
And not only that,
that Harley,
like the KTM and their BMWs and the Harley service, the cost of service is about the same across the board.
So exactly.
On those bikes. Yeah.
One thing I do, and I don't know if they said it in the video or not, but a buddy of mine who's a tech at Harley said that this motor is supposed to require zero service.
I'm sure.
It's all serviced by oil pressure.
Right.
And so you can, you know, you don't have to crack the motor to do anything to it. You can do all your tuning to that motor by oil pressure.
What?
Yeah.
So if you bump the oil pressure up, it bumps your horsepower up.
I don't know what it does, but yeah. I can tell you what he told me because it was,
if you go to a Honda Acura dealer, you can buy a Type R emblem and you can also buy a VTEC emblem. And if you put those on your Harley, it'll make it twice as fast.
Twice as fast.
This is what he said. Harley claims the internals of the engine are maintenance free, meaning as a tech, there's no valve adjustment needed, no tensioner to adjust. Those things are adjusted hydraulically with oil pressure.
Just like your car.
Yep.
That's what he told me.
Imagine that.
Yep.
Fucking air cooled pieces of shit.
I have our patron list up here.
Okay.
So thank you guys for, as Dustin said earlier, thank you guys for donating to our Patreon, those of you that have joined, even if you joined just to make sure Jared got some extra money, and it doesn't go to Jared, it goes to the Forgotten Angels charity. So, but we do like to thank all of our patrons personally every week. And so again, our patrons, we want to thank are Matt, Chris, Kenneth, Andrew, Mike, Philip, Robbie, Matt, and Walter. And the other thing we want to mention in addition to that is because our Patreon has grown, because our Discord has grown, we now have two admins in our Discord. So those of you that do or don't know this, we have NetShark on our Discord, who is one of our original admins, and our newest admin is Bri the Biker. So for those of you that don't know, now you do. And now you know, and they are in our Discord all the time. And so if you need anything or have any questions, you can hit them up.
Whenever
thank you,
you
Bri were, and Matt.
Thank you very much. When you were talking about choppers at the Chopper Show,
yeah,
and you said chopper about four times, yeah. I thought about chopper style, chop, chop, chopper style, chopper style. Did you ever hear of, they won't chop, chop. They got chop, chop. You not ever heard Choppa?
I've never heard that in my life.
Are you talking about the car dealer in Las Vegas?
No, I'm talking about the rapper who was named Choppa.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh.
Mm. I think you lost us all on that one, Mike.
Yeah. Well, there was a car dealer show, like a reality TV show. 10 years ago that was the name of the dealer that sold a bunch of cars in Las Vegas.
Well, I wish I could have been there to the old Chopper show.
It was nice.
Those bikes. Damn it.
It was a lot of fun. And Jared is a great dude.
Was the whole Shade Tree crew there?
No. I met Jared and his wife, Nancy. Uh-huh. And she's also very cool. And Jared's two kids. And then Flipnaw was there. So I met him. And that was it. I mean, I don't know if the other crew was there. That's who was there. And then a buddy of Jared's was there too. But yeah, I didn't meet anybody else.
Well, seeing those bikes and meeting Jared is pretty cool.
Flipnaw is actually the one who took the picture of me on Jared's bike because,
oh, Jared, nice.
Did Flipnaw give Jared a hand in the build?
Yes.
He did some filming and he gave him a hand at the end for final assembly on Hollywood Run.
Oh, nice.
On his new bike, on the donation bike, but on his new bike. Yep.
Yeah.
Discord.
All right, let's do these Discord questions. We probably already covered them in the general discussion, but there might be some more.
We got some new ones.
All right.
Did you guys have any other talking points about the Pan America?
Oh, before we get started, I got the first question from me to Tony.
Oh, I don't know.
No, you're supposed to go, sure.
I deny everything. It wasn't me.
Mr. Cox, if you owned a Harley-Davidson Pan America, inevitable that you would ride that shit off-road. Your bike will be dirty. Will you still vow to keep your shit tight?
Yes. I mean, there's no hesitation, dude. I mean, when I would... If I came home, it's first thing I'd do is hose it down if it was dirty.
And he would wash it with water after he got done peeing on it.
Yeah, no, it would. My shit would be tight. When I pulled out of the, now it might have some scratches and shit from where it has fallen over and whatnot, but it's going to be clean.
Dude, you'd be scrubbing the fuck out of that thing with some Meguiar's.
Yes, it would be clean.
I'll be back.
All right, so we have a question from Moto Ricky Ricardo, and Moto Ricky Ricardo is aiming this question directly at Mike.
Oh, fuck.
He says, will Mike be returning to the Harley fold?
Mm.
Has this bike made you think about purchasing a Pan America? Like, seriously, you know?
Yes. Yeah, on a serious note, me being serious, yes. Because I love my CRF. I think I like off-road riding more than I would what the Pan America is capable of. But to take someone who can ride single track now and say, well, you can't ride single track, but you could ride a Pet America. You know, that's a hard choice because I'm sure I could crush miles on that bike.
Oh, yeah. You could ride that fucker across country.
Yeah.
Zero trouble.
Mm-hmm. It's like a KLR, only 10 times better.
And heated grips, cruise control. I mean, it's got everything, man.
I want to hear what that Revolution Max motor sounds like.
I'm kind of anxious to see what it sounds like, too. Hope it doesn't sound like a fucking lawn boy.
It probably sounds like a damn Street 750. Mm. When you're shifting through the gears, it goes ugly.
Didn't you hear it in the video?
No.
I did. It sounded pretty good to me.
Got to get some aftermarket pipes on it.
Yeah, I think they displayed a Screaming Eagle aftermarket muffler on it.
Yeah, you got to get some pipes. Got to put some pipes on it. All right, man.
We can go get some rut beer and a liter of cola.
All right, our next question comes from Das Überstinker. Did I say that right?
Sure. Hey. What was that again?
Das Überstinker.
Überstinker, is that somebody hire in a car to come over and fart?
That Überstinker.
Whoa, come on now.
Hey,
let's let her ask the guy a question.
Okay, let's start that back over.
Okay, our next question comes from Das Überstinker. And he says, what do you recommend to someone who really isn't into the Harley Davidson thing, but loves to ride? I'm intrigued by Indian, but honestly, the metric bikes to me offer more value.
Sell your bikes.
So, I mean, I'm having a little trouble with the question. So he wants to know what type of riding.
He's not into Harley Davidson, but he loves to ride. He's intrigued by Indian, but honestly, the metric bikes to me offer more value.
So obviously, if he's intrigued by Indian, then he's in the cruiser market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a cruiser guy. I don't think the metrics offer more. I think they offer more bells and whistles.
It depends on what your value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it does. I think the bells for me on a cruiser, I don't want all that shit. I don't want ride modes. I don't want suspension modes. I don't want any of that stuff. All I want is a start button and brakes that work.
And a seat height low enough. So he and can a seat height
low enough. Yeah. And you know, that's what I'm after. So, you know, it all depends on what you put value in. Like Mike said,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you want all the electronic stuff, then
yeah. If you follow that conversation down, I guess somebody said something to him. He said he's intrigued by Indian, but that doesn't mean he has to have one, not when he can get a metric for half the price used. And, I mean, he's not wrong. You can get a good metric, like a good used metric for sure. Bike for half the price.
You can get a good used bike from any manufacturer.
But I will say this as and you guys know, I don't chew on the Harley Davidson Kool-Aid, that gritty, sandy Kool-Aid.
I don't know. You are teabagging their nuts on this Pan America.
Sure. That's the Pan America. That's a completely different thing. Agreed. That's not dressed up in leather chaps. I felt
some thigh burning going on from all the teabagging happening.
Man, I think I pulled a muscle in my lower back. Even.
I think we needed to play porn music when he was talking about it, to be honest, but. Anyway,
all right. So,
So, what I was going to say was it depends on your value and depends on, like he said, he likes metrics for their value. Which, yes, if you're talking dollars spent to purchase said motorcycle, yeah. But when you're not talking about actual dollar value, you're going to rebuild that metric motorcycle and replace parts to maintain that metric motorcycle and spend more money and actually have depreciation of the motorcycle than what you would if you bought a Harley.
Well, I'm confused by it.
I will say that.
Right. I'm confused by it only because he says, I'm not into the Harley thing, but I'm intrigued by Indian. Well, then it's not the money, because Indians are the same price as Harleys, right?
Yeah. It may be the culture at which he's referring to. There's a whole lot of things that we don't know.
Right. Well, exactly. Exactly. And I think, when we've said it before, buy the bike that you want to ride and find your people in that group of riders.
Absolutely.
Because there's going to be those same riders that you don't connect to in any bike that you buy. Right. So it doesn't, you just have to find your people. I mean, that's part of it. So,
yeah.
Next.
With a Harley ADV bike, does that mean you're not going to end up with some homely hippie looking girl on the back of your motorcycle when you're going camping?
No, but we're
going to
get you some off-road assless chaps.
That's right.
Made by Revit.
Hey, I'm riding that bastard naked.
So we have a question from Dad Bod Game On Fleek.
What?
Wow. Yeah, that's his name. Dad Bod Game On Fleek.
So his game is on fleek, but he's got his dad bod.
His dad bod is his dad bod game is on fleek.
Or his dad bod game.
Yeah. His dad bod game is on fleek. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I don't even know what that means.
He says, okay. It means he's on point.
Okay.
Right. He's got his dad bod game on point. Yep.
All right.
Are we good? Are you all up on the new kids lingo now, Tony?
I am. I'm all up, man.
That and the root beer.
The root beer? He's going to go drink some root beer right after this is over. You guys can fuck off, by the way.
Kid Moto just sold
enough root beer. I was waiting when that was going to come out, man. That fuck off's been bottled up for a while in a bottle of root beer.
Yes, it has.
Okay, Marks, so, the rut goes straight to your brain.
It does. So Dad Bod Game On Fleek asks, will the Pan America convert more non-Harley riders or siphon off bagger riders from their own ownership groups?
That's a fucking tough question, man.
I don't know if it... Go ahead, Tony.
I don't think that it's... I think it's going to take some of the bagger riders. I don't think it's going to take them enough to make a difference, but I'd imagine there are going to be some that's going to be interested in it.
First person that comes to mind is Leo, LM4 yeah. Photo. He already, I think it was probably right after the announcement that he would give that a hard look, because he's very dedicated to his brand. And I think he even made the comment that he would, if he ever went to an ADV bike, it would be a Harley one.
Yeah. I think it's going to take some of them. The other thing is outside influence. Harley produced a legit fucking contender. It's not something
amazingly that, enough.
Yes. It's not something that Harley people are going to look at and go, that's a badass bike. And everybody else going to look at it and go, no, it doesn't compete with the other ones. This one does. On every level, it competes with everything out there. So if people look at it, hopefully they do, because I think it's a legit contender in the marketplace.
Does it have hydraulic? It has hydraulic clutch, correct?
No, it's cable.
Oh, God damn it. They better put a soft clutch on that bitch.
They went back to cable on everything, but I think it's a legit contender. So I think it's going to do better outside of the Harley world than it does inside.
They're going to have to, that's where like what Dustin said, they're going to have to market it differently than they do their other products so that they can attract those people and not scare the people away that are scared to go into a Harley dealership because they don't feel like they fit in or they don't feel like they don't belong.
Dude, right? The fucking Harley dealer is intimidating anyway.
That's what I'm saying. And you're going to have to, they're going to have to do something different to draw that crowd in, because the ADV riders, they don't ride in packs like a lot of the Harley riders do, right? No. A lot of them ride alone. So they're
loners.
Exactly.
Fucking loners.
If you freak them out, they're not coming in.
I get the fact that, well, most ADV riders actually ride in pair or groups of three, believe it or not.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Because you don't go ADV.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. What you were saying, Dustin?
Yeah, it just makes sense, because if you're riding off road, there's a high chance that something bad could happen.
You're going to get fucked up.
Yeah, it makes sense to have somebody with you in case somebody needs to dial 911 if somebody can't.
Yeah.
Sitting at the bottom of the hill and you just see my bike go by. Where's Tony? I don't know. He got bucked off back there somewhere.
Anytime you're doing any more technical ADV riding, there is a good chance that the back of your boot could hit you in the back of the head.
Ow.
Go full scorpion.
You could full scorpion that bitch at any moment in time.
Or what? I was actually listening to an old podcast today. You said that your nuts turned into a drag car. They were all behind you.
Yeah. You got to throw out the parachute every once in a while. What I think about this motorcycle is you have the cruiser guys and you have the bike. You have the people that normally ride around town or the people that ride a couple 300 miles in a day type of riders, right? And they'll go out and ride. They come back home and they're like Tony. They're polishing their motorcycle. They're doing whatever.
You have to keep your shit tight.
We know this, Tony.
I'm just saying.
But you do have the people that enjoy going on road trips. So we'll take Ryan, for example, because this is a very good, what's it called when you're putting things together? God damn it. This is going to take forever to edit. When
yeah,
you're,
let's move on. Next question.
No. When you're trying to go, this is going to be a good comparison. Okay. So Ryan has his Road King special. And Ryan can ride his Road King special from North Dakota to wherever the fuck he wants to ride to. And he can get there and he can ride 90 miles an hour or 80 miles an hour and do whatever and has saddlebags and carry whatever the hell he wants to. With an ADV bike, you can do the same exact thing. But the difference with an ADV bike is that you can go on gravel. You can now fully loaded. Not such a good idea. But when you get to your destination, you can ride on gravel roads and ride on fire roads and ride on rocky terrain. And you can ride on this type of stuff on the same motorcycle that you just traveled cross country with.
And you know what else you can do with those saddlebags? You can put some waterless bike wash in it. So when you get there, you can keep your shit tight.
No, because people who ride ADV bikes don't care about washing their bike.
Keep it dirty, riders, and we'll see you next time on the FDB Podcast.